Welcome to For the Fans. It's our first coverage of the first eviction episode of the season. I am Kevin. We have Kylie here. We have Mike. How are y'all doing today? Exactly. It was that good.
So no words.
Tonight, we are going to be going over a very special episode of Big Brother. No, there was not an eviction, but there was like never really a live eviction planned.
Anyways,
so we didn't really get that.
Question mark. This was confusing. This was a lot.
But we're going to take you through every step of the way. Initial thoughts, though,
we're
Kylie.
Mike. We're going to be here with you
the whole way. We're going to hold your hand through what happened tonight on the show. Initial thoughts, Kylie. Initial thoughts, Mike.
I mean, I'll just literally, like, there's almost no words because it was like there was so much filler, but then like so much extra stuff happened. We didn't even have enough time to get through it. So it was odd. I mean, I know it was a bit unexpected. You know, they really only had 24 hours to pull this together, but they kind of only have 24 hours to pull stuff together all the time. And so it was interesting.
Well, one thing that I think was interesting is that it was a lot of filler, but like not, because there was a lot of stuff going on, all of it having to do with Paloma that happened the last few days. But they really just couldn't show it because, first off, it wasn't like game relevant, obviously, but it wasn't really relevant to what's going to happen setting up the rest of the week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think they had a big challenge in front of them. Like, I think that it was hard for them to put this together quickly. And the whole time, like throughout the season so far, this episode especially, just disappointment, then I'm happy, then I'm sad again, then I'm confused, then I'm like, it really is the definition of a roller coaster so far.
Yeah, it takes you through everything. And, you know, we were talking before we went live, like, you know, it's fun, and then all of a sudden it's not fun anymore. And yeah, just kind of,
I never know how to feel after. I have not known how to feel after any episode so far. I don't know.
Well, hopefully with this, I mean, Julie said it a couple times, this is a reset. It legitimately is it's a reset on everything. Frankie Grande hitting that
bring
button.
Bring those BB14 coaches in. Slap that reset button.
Which that Pandora's box.
Let's start over and just pretend that none of this happened.
That's exactly what we're doing. So let's just jump right into the episode. So the episode begins. The episode begins with like taking us through what happened immediately after the veto ceremony, and we get Taylor. She's crying. Taylor's upset because the way it was characterized to her by Daniel with this speech was as if she had done something, she had wronged somebody or several somebody.
She's made them feel unwelcome.
Yes, and she says through her tears that, you know, her being on the block's not that big of a deal, but if she made someone feel unwelcome, that's the last thing she wanted to do. And I thought that was an interesting way for Daniel to phrase this to begin with.
It's odd. I mean, the more I thought about it, I was like, if Daniel wanted to handle this the right way and like people are coming to him, they're throwing Taylor under the bus, he could have just been like, hey, Taylor, like, it seems like, you know, there might be some issues with some people in the house. Like, you know, personally, I like you, but hey, I just want to do what the house wants to do. But his comment of, you know, you can take this time to apologize to some folks. Just, I cannot get over how pompous it was. And so.
Yeah, I said that yesterday too. Like, that's just something that, you know, even in real life, when you tell someone that they need to go do something and you're shining like a negative light on them, just in real life, you better know what you're telling them to do. You better know that they have done something wrong, because to most people, that's going to cut deep. You need to go apologize. You need to think about this. Things like that. In a game, telling someone you need to apologize for something, and you saw it with Taylor, like the way she broke down and the reason why she broke down, not being why she's on the block, made me that much more sad for her. like seeing her on the feeds and seeing all the tears and everything made me feel bad for her. But in that moment, that was the worst I felt for her, because I was like, wow, this is genuinely a good person who did nothing wrong. And she's crying, not because she's about to lose her chance at a big amount of money. She's crying because she feels like she hurt someone. And that's
even worse. Even worse, Mike, is like me telling, it's the fact that Daniel said, you did wrong. Now go figure out what you did wrong.
True.
And then apologize to those people that you did it to once you figure out what you did that was wrong. I was like, that. You didn't even like point her in the right
direction. Yeah, like so vague.
Go build a house. Here's one brick.
Yes.
BS. You know, like.
Yes. And then what we don't see in the episode, he's on feeds and he's talking to Cole. He's like, why isn't this house built yet? Obviously,
yeah.
She did something. She doesn't know what she's doing here. And it was like you said, here's a single brick. Figure it out.
Build a mansion for me. Tonight. Yes. Do it tonight. Do it in 2 days. 2 days.
Yes. It was crazy. So with Daniel telling her that, and as you said, Mike, you have a genuine person here breaking down. And then immediately, first person that wants to talk to her is Paloma. The person that has done nothing but throw her under the bus for the last 5 to 6 days is the first person that says, I want to grab you real quick to talk to you.
Yeah.
And when she talks to her, she's not bringing up what happened. She's consoling her. And telling her, even if when you're watching this on the couch, you'll know what happened here.
Yeah, you'll understand. You'll know what you did wrong.
And Paloma made it more about her. Like, I felt like Paloma in that moment felt like she was acting way more upset than Taylor. Like, I felt like Taylor's, it actually kind of helped. Yeah. Taylor
was consoling her.
Yeah, Taylor like kind of stopped crying as much.
Yeah.
So I was probably sitting there like, Wait, I'm supposed to be the one who's sad. Why the
fuck? I thought I was sad. Yeah, I thought I was a sad.
Yeah.
And Paloma is like, you know, Taylor, hopefully from this experience, you know that you have one true friend. And we are not going to just like completely shit on Paloma tonight, because I think she's got enough of a road ahead of her.
Yeah.
But
I still, this still moment.
This is curious.
You got one true friend, but she's the reason that Taylor's even in this situation. And then I did love the fact that Taylor's like, everything doesn't seem right here, because this woman's saying that she's my friend, but she ain't even trying to pretend like we gonna try to keep me here.
Yeah.
And I did love the perceptiveness. Taylor is a very good player here. I think Taylor is a good player and decently perceptive to like the game around her, now that she's privy to the game has been being played around her.
So that was the first moment that I saw Taylor seeing something. Like, for instance, last night's show, I was saying, I don't feel bad for – I don't care that Taylor is most likely going home because she's this amazing player. I feel bad that Taylor's going home because it might be too soon for Taylor to go home. Tonight, with that one comment, I was like, okay, Taylor's playing the game now. And sometimes you need that kick in the ass. Boom. You know, they're targeting me already. That's all you need. And now she gets a second chance. It's like, you know, you never know. You know what I mean? Well, but that was the first time when she said, you know, yeah, you love me so much. Why aren't you saying, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to get out of this.
You've already got me like, you know, 1 foot out the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slamming me. Yeah. Slamming on my ass on the way out.
The thing that's interesting, Mike, is that back in the day, they used to say the optimal Big Brother strategy was go to sleep. Go to sleep for the first month. Wake up after a month. Get to work. Right?
Mm-hmm.
To stay out of trouble, be out of people's faces. And that, to me, is the optimal strategy, right? Because it keeps your threat level low. But unbeknownst to Taylor, and no fault of Taylor's, her threat level was already sky high without her doing anything, by her existing.
Mm-hmm. So sleeping is not an option now.
Sleeping was
seems not like an she option. Knows that, and that's good.
Yes. Exactly. Like Alyssa can go to sleep. Alyssa can go to sleep for 2 months.
Yeah.
And then you're gonna realize that Alyssa's in this house still. Mm-hmm. Her and Turner. If they can both go to sleep, they're gonna be fine. But
and Joseph.
Hibernation.
And Joseph. Hibernate. The three of them. They'll be okay. But like you just said, her threat level was sky high. And she just in this moment of being put on the block and being told by Daniel, you know what you did. So now go fix the thing that you did that you know that you did. she's like, okay, so sleeping is not an option. Mm-hmm. It is not, no longer an option for me.
And she starts to make the rounds. And I mean, she's getting some inroads, you know, she's making some progress with folks, and she's figuring out, you know, why exactly she has gotten herself into this situation.
She speaks to Amira next, and Amira's like, straight up, gotta ask, did you tell Monty that Paloma was coming for him? Taylor's like, no, I did not say that. I said that Paloma is concerned about the guys grouping up. I was just giving Monty a heads up. I love the fact that we see a flashback and we see that conversation because that's what happened. I don't know how that became her saying, listen, Paloma's terrified of all the dudes linking up. Just be on top of that. Talk to her. So that's what she said while she was doing her hair. Mm-hmm. We then see Monty go to Paloma and say, you coming for me? And Paloma's like, that's a lie. When it wasn't really a lie at all, because she was talking about doing something of the nature of it.
Right.
I think that the genuine, how do I say, like, concern for Monty shows through Taylor's words. What she says, go talk to Paloma and sort it out. If I actually am just trying to put shade on Paloma, that's the last person I'm going to tell Monty to go talk to. I'm going to say, take my word for it. Don't tell her I said this, but just know. No, Taylor says, go have a conversation with her. I want this all to be worked out.
She invites it. Yeah. She invites the conversation.
That's the truth of the matter. If it was a little bit of shade and Taylor actually wanted Paloma out, it seemed like Taylor was actually trying to fix the situation. Like, I like these two people. Go work it out. And then, but like I said, if I was trying to get them against each other, don't say a word to her. She's coming after you. And that's shade right there. There was no shade.
Well, I mean, even worse, like you said, Mike, she was looking to go to sleep. Like, she was like, hey, go fix this. Call me in a minute. I'll see you in a little bit. I'm going to put, like, the mask over her eyes. You know what I'm saying? But she wasn't able to do that because just her even saying that has Monty now. Monty's all over the place, right? Monty's completely in the wrong here. He doesn't know what he's doing. That was super messy because it makes no sense.
Yeah.
It just makes no logical sense for, like you said, Mike, to her to go talk to Paloma and go figure out that I'm lying about her. And like,
you get the information, sit on it. Like, you don't immediately, and the whole cast is this way. Any information they get, because we're going to see it later with, you know, Pooch. And any information they get, they got to run their mouths. And sometimes it's best to just, you know, keep something in your back pocket. Okay, maybe I need to keep an eye on Paloma. I'm, you know, apparently in this alliance with her, but maybe this isn't so great after all.
Well, Taylor luckily gets to the bottom of what at least the thing is from Amira. Because Amira, one thing I didn't like is Amira tells her, well, I wish she had come to us sooner.
Yeah.
How was I supposed to come to you about a thing I didn't know about?
Yeah, same thing. Amira is like, sorry, girl.
Yeah. It's a little late.
She talks to Monty, same thing. Sorry. I mean, they're all like, baby, you got one, you are out.
Yeah, exactly like you said, ooh, sorry. Like, that's exactly the feeling. Man, we definitely read that wrong. That's unfortunate. That's yeah. So she talks to Monty. Monty's like, find out that was a miscommunication. But, you know, I'm kind of closer to Paloma at this point because I froze out Taylor for 3 days. So, you know, psych, sorry. You know, it's tough. And so then she circles back to Paloma. And Paloma said, listen, I don't really want to talk about this. I'm trying to go to bed. I hear you. I hear you talking to me. Not really paying attention. Trying to go to sleep. Haven't slept at all. Then she says, am I being rude? I feel like I'm being rude. So it was like,
So rude. The rudest. How could you be more rude? Everything that we say tonight about Paloma needs to be taken into consideration that she was not in the right headspace from what we say. But just from what we saw, like, yes, what you are saying is extremely, extremely rude. Like, giving someone, you know, from the episode, it looked like 10 minutes later, Paloma was more upset than Taylor that Taylor was on the block, and now she doesn't want to talk to her. So yeah, that's really rude. Like,
I don't really. I mean, I was upset a little while ago, but now I don't have time for it. So
yeah, yeah,
that has passed, and I've moved on to the next thing. So after we get Taylor trying to piece this together, we get the real nice montage about this group of six that has many different versions of this group of six. The core is still Alyssa, Amira, Paloma, Monty,
Kyle.
Then there's one with Kyle. Then we have one with Pooch. We have another one with Michael. Did we have one with Turner too? I know that there was
one. I think it was supposed to be Pooch, and then they decided, oh, hey, Pooch, he's not reliable. He's a little Pooch shaky.
Out. Michael in. How about Michael's game sense though, right here, where he goes, look, man, I wasn't consulting who's going to be in this thing. I'm hearing about this right now. She just gave me five names of the people that are already in this thing, which means that I'm the last one in this thing. I'm not really feeling too good about this thing.
So, like, sure, I'll take it, but...
Yes. I love the fact that he was hyper aware of his standing in this group.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great move.
I mean, once again, you know, Paloma throws off kind of some Devin vibes, you know, like, whenever in... 18, 17, 16, 16, BB 16, whenever Devin plays. And, you know, he's like waking people up in the middle of the night, pulling them into the bomb squad. And they're like, what is happening? Mm-hmm, and that's kind of what Paloma's doing here. You know, she's got folks she's just dragging in. And they're like, oh, okay, this is happening.
And they're finding out that, oh, I'm in the thing. I didn't realize I didn't. Oh, yeah, okay. Sure. I'm in it. Sounds good. Sounds good.
So, They've told Pooch about it, so Pooch knows that the five of them are together. But then he's not hearing anything else, so...
I don't know if you guys touched on this like a second ago. I was in the middle of something, but this also goes back to, like, we know who the super fan of the season... I know we're talking about Pooch now, but going back to Michael.
But Michael, yeah.
We know who the super fan of the season is. Sorry, Daniel, like, keep saying it, but, like, every single thing that Michael says, it just says, okay, this is the super fan. And then when Daniel says something, it's like, okay, yeah, like, lower tier super fan. But it's just hilarious how it was... There's only room for one super fan in this, and Michael just keeps dismissing the fact that Daniel is a super fan by what he says, so... Yeah. I just thought that was funny.
And so him being aware, like you said, though, Kylie, Michael's now in. As a super fan, Michael's in. He's like, great. Don't really feel comfortable here, but I'm in it. I'm going to need it. It's fine. Pooch also knows about this thing. So I'm sure Pooch is like, man, they're not answering my phone calls, but I'm going to keep calling. They decided to ghost them and just like leave them on the back burner, which is going to be something we're going to have to watch for going forward, you know, as the game continues to progress. But speaking of Pooch, Brittany is super concerned about this backstage twist. Now, as we know, as the fans, we've been voting for days to keep one person safe, right? But they don't know that in the house. They don't know how this backstage twist is going to go at all. So Brittany is very concerned that the backstage boss, Pooch, is going to determine who is going to be doing whatever happens with this backstage thing. And Brittany she's a fan as well. So she's hyper aware that she is not Pooch's best friend.
Right.
She gets to work. Kylie, so what'd you think of her?
She's going to give Pooch a little nugget.
A little bit of kibble, you know what I'm saying, for the Pooch.
It's not a bad thing to do, but Brittany doesn't have that relationship established with Pooch.
Well, on top of that, Pooch doesn't care about what Brittany got to say.
Yeah, so he takes his little nugget, and he carries on out of the room.
And then he leaves his dish, you know what I'm saying? He takes it, he sees the dish, and then moves on about his business. And now, one thing I didn't understand, and maybe one of y'all can explain this to me, why didn't she just like say Paloma or Alyssa? Someone that was in the know, but someone that was in the backstage situation.
Throw someone under the bus that's in the same position as you, not somebody
She instead says Amira was coming for Pooch, which she is. She is. But why would you dime her out? I know you're trying to give a little bit of information, but why dime her out? And like we just said, Amira is in a six-person alliance with Pooch as far as Pooch is concerned. That
is. And what I love is whenever Pooch goes to confront Amira about it, Amira doesn't even deny it. She's like, you know, like, I have a good relationship with Brittany, or at least I thought I did. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's basically being like, yeah, I was talking shit about you, but she went and told you, and mm-hmm. I thought that I had a better relationship with her. Like, she doesn't even deny it. She's like,
oh, I'm sure she like denied it, but hand waved it. Like, no, yeah. Why would I come for you? But I can't believe.
Yeah, and Pooch is smiling like ear to ear, like bomb defused. Like, this is great. Whatever. And literally, Amira's just sitting there like literally just laughing. Like, she's like, oh, I thought, like you said, Kai, like, I thought I had a good relationship, but
yeah,
that's not. And Pooch is like, oh, like, good, we're back on good terms. And Brittany and Amira's like, I gotta go to work now, Pooch. Stay here. Sit, doggy.
Yeah, yeah. Sit, Pooch. Yeah. She rubbed Pooch behind the ear and then said, go ahead and sit there. Sit, I'll be back.
But, I mean, once again, like, this is a scenario of you've gotten information. Why do you immediately? I mean, like, he ran out of the storage room and ran straight into the bedroom. I mean, he didn't even take time to process this. Why? Why can't we just sit on information for a little while and think about it and decide how to proceed?
Okay, I'm gonna give Pooch a pass on that, right? I'm gonna give Pooch a bone, right? I'm gonna throw him a bone.
We gotta stop with the puns. We got to.
All season, baby. All season. As long as Pooch is there, I got dog stuff. Anyway, I'm gonna throw Pooch a bone here. Pooch is aligned with the mirror as far as he's concerned. He already knows that he's sending out Brittany if he has any kind of say. So whatever Brittany has to say to him, he's not listening to. Right? It's not. None of it is gonna stick. So. Him running to Amira immediately, I'm good with, because he's like, look, man, this is my ally. I know that this is fake. I know that this is made up. And I got a reason now that when I pick Brittany to go home or whatever it is that I get to do, I'm going to be like, remember that time I told all y'all that Brittany lied on Amira? Because mm-hmm. a precedent has been set with Taylor that if you lie and you get caught lying, then we're going to try to send you home. So the moment he finds out that Brittany lied, that's his reasoning. That's one thing I never understood, though, in Big Brother. Why do you need a reason for anything? I don't need a reason to do the things that are good for my game.
Right. I mean, that's fine. Like, if that is what you think is good for your game. But, you know, once again, like, you think that you're in this six-person alliance with Amira.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it hasn't ever been confirmed and there's no name to it, then... Is it an alliance?
I'm not talking about for Pooch specifically. I'm talking about, like, there's season after season, you see them have to formulate a reason why they're putting someone up. I don't actually need a reason. You're a threat to my game. That's why I'm putting you up. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it always has to be like, you lied to me in this moment, or you lied to X person here.
I feel like it's better, though, for your game with the rest of the players. Instead of saying, you're a threat to my game, I'm putting you up, all the other players who don't have an amazing relationship with you are going to say, oh, shit, I might be a threat to their game as well. Instead of saying, I'm putting you up because you lied to me and said this, you're going on the block. Now that tells all the other players, oh, I can't lie to him or he's going to put me up. You know what I mean? It's more of
I could kind of see that. Because to me, if I'm like, Mike, I'm putting you up because you're very good. Based on your movements, you seem very good at this game, and you're real dangerous. That's what I would say, because I would say the two of you are up, because as I watched you guys move in this game, you guys are very, very good here, and I need to position myself in a position where I can try to make it through this thing. It's no shade. It's not a lie. Because I watched them like create reasons. Like he says.
Like
he says, great, Brittany lied to me. I now have a reason.
Mm-hmm. That's why you keep this information in your pocket 9 times out of 10. I feel like you don't need to tell everyone, you know, or even tell Amira, Brittany said this. if you don't even know what the twist is. If it does come down to you putting someone in there and you do throw Brittany in there, and then you need to tell Amira, the reason I did that is because she came up to me and lied to me about you. Now Amira's like, wow, Pooch just sent someone out who he thinks was lying about me. That's a golden ticket. You know what I mean?
I am in with Pooch.
Exactly. Well, so you hold on. I'm wondering if these people are bored, genuinely, because when anything happens in the game, they're like, whoa, I'm going to go tell everyone. They're trying to call their parents. They're trying to, like, it's like, it's like the best news they've ever heard when someone, like, lies or something.
Well,
and we have like, honestly, though, I mean, like, messy gameplay, that's fine. That's fine if that's how this is going to be. Not every season can, you know, just have super great strategy. I don't have a problem with it if it's going to be messy. I have a problem with it if it's going to, like, cross into the realm of, like, okay, now Brittany is the outcast. No one talked to her. No one would believe her. Nobody associate with her. That's where the problem comes in. So if we just want to, you know, like, kind of be crappy players, that's okay. We're just going to have a messy ass season. And that's, well, sometimes that's fun.
we see it though come to roost immediately, because Amira then goes to, and I love Amira's play here. Her and Jasmine go in a room and she's like, hey, so crazy. Pooch was asking me about me wanting Pooch up. Anybody know anything about that, Brittany? Oh man, no, I know nothing about nothing. I don't know nothing about nothing. She's like, huh. Well, it's interesting because only the two of you knew that. But you know, who knows where that came from, Brittany? Who knows, Brittany? Who knows?
I think Brittany was extremely overwhelmed, because if you're looking at this, I mean, the evidence is on the table. Like, if you're Brittany, you have to know that Amira 1000% believes Pooch on this. Amira even said in her confessional, I only told a few people about this. And for him to point out, Brittany told me this, and Brittany's one of those people, I know Brittany's lying. So Brittany should have said, oh, I should have told you this beforehand. I told him that because I'm worried about the backstage thing. That's the only reason why
sometimes
I told
you
him
you just
that.
Got to fess up. You get caught.
And this was one of those moments. This was one of those moments where.
Because it loses all of her trust with Amira.
Every
Amira's 100%. Like, I can't trust her, and I kind of want her gone now. So that's something that, because they still don't know what the backstage twist is. She's like, listen, if there's any chance for me to send her home, she going pack. Yeah. It's fine. It's that easy for me. Next in the episode is where we got to like the real, the meat of what's going on. So Julie says from the beginning that we're going to have something that's unexpected, expect the unexpected. And tonight is more so than normal.
Yeah.
Throughout the first half hour of the show, she doesn't mention anything about an eviction, which she normally would do on a Thursday, on a Thursday live eviction night. So we get back in the game and we find Paloma struggling. There's no better way to say it. Paloma is struggling. She hasn't been sleeping. She slept about an hour per day. She has been rambling about
nonsensical things
about it being a simulation, that she's saying that she was telling her allies to evict her, even though she's not up to be evicted.
You can't be evicted.
She's telling people that she's working with to be evicted. She tells Turner, let's leave together. Let's just leave. Let's just all just get up out of here. We see her walking around in the middle of the night with her blanket on and her sunglasses on. Yeah. And it's the middle of the night. She's just unraveling. And we get a view of Paloma in the diary room. And she's rambling a bit, but she's also like looks extremely tired. And she mentions multiple times how tired she is. But she also mentions how she can't sleep in the house because her brain is just going a mile a minute. And the last thing we see her sit down and she's like laid down face first in the diary room on the couch. And that's the last we see of Paloma. Daniel gets a little card, and as he's reading it, he breaks down. As it said that due to personal reasons, Paloma will not be continuing in the game. It was heavy. It was heavy. And mental health is a real thing, man. It's a real thing we got to keep, we got to be aware of and got to keep safe. So What are you guys' thoughts so far?
I think she definitely made the right decision for herself. I mean, it is ultimately a game, and no game is worth your mental health. And if she was struggling that badly and it's been a week, like, you know, 14, 21, 80 days from now, where, you know, like what kind of headspace would she be in? So I think that it was probably best for her to go now as opposed to a couple of weeks from now and just continuing to spiral. I don't know if, you know, the BB producers had a hand in it and, like, you know, stepping in and doing what was best for Paloma, but all around, I think it was the best decision.
Yeah. And I also, like, whether you're religious or not, I thought Monty really stood mm-hmm. up and brought everyone together with a prayer, whether a prayer being an actual prayer or like it being just bringing people together and wishing someone well, depending on your religion. Yeah. I felt like it was a great moment. And he included in there, like, I hope the people understand and give her a chance. Yeah. Like, is that what he said? Show her some grace outside of the house. I think he's kind of targeting that towards us, towards Twitter, towards all the people who could, you know, just absolutely target her in this moment. And I think that was good because it's easy to watch someone on your TV screen and not know anything about them, all that stuff, and kind of say, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like this, I don't like that. And Monty's kind of saying, whether you like Paloma or not, hold off. She doesn't need that right now. She needs to get in a good headspace. You know what I mean? And honestly,
that's probably a good message in general, because with everything that's happened this week in the Big Brother world, you know, I was even thinking that yesterday before we knew about it, like, I don't want to be so quick to just jump on and label somebody a bully or label somebody a racist or, you know, all of these different things, because it is obviously a stressful situation and you do want to allow a little bit of grace, but no matter what happens in the house, the people have repercussions that they're going to deal with when they get out of there. And so Paloma is going to be experiencing that sooner than
she expected.
Yeah. So
it's just a little bit different because she's most likely in this moment way more vulnerable.
So she's got some things that she's going to have to deal with leading up to this anyways.
Yeah.
It based on what has happened, she will still get her comeuppance. People are still going to have some conversations with her. Yep. Because though she was struggling, there were some things that were just
sure. And I mean, and that's fine. You know, it needs to be a learning experience for her.
Correct.
Hey, here's some things that you did.
I smile because the conversation she had with Taylor about when she's on her couch and she is going to know what happened after Paloma gets a little bit better, that conversation is going to come to roost for her. Yeah. So the internet will give her the discourse that she does. But like you guys were saying, Monty said, you hold off, give her a little time.
Yeah.
And with that, Paloma's gone from the game, man. She was coming hot. She came fifth. She came, went right out just as hot. What a crazy, crazy
week.
Four days.
It was the best analogy would be like a firework.
Yes.
It shoots, boom, and then where to go?
Exactly.
Gotta light another one.
Yes. And so Paloma's out the game. And with Paloma out the game, we finally get to like Julie being a little live. Mm-hmm. Julie lets us know that the original plan for the backstage twist was for the backstage person. There was going to be two people that were going to be eligible. One of them was going to go head to head with the with the person that was voted out, which would have probably been hey. Taylor. America got to vote to keep someone safe, and Julie unveils the card and shows that it was Brittany. So Twitter, y'all came through. The internet, y'all came through. I voted like 50 times.
You did it,
I have a lot of emails. I have a lot of email accounts. I voted like 50 times. John at Gmail, though. John at Gmail, you voted for Paloma 10 times. I'm looking at you. I don't know who you are, but I'm looking at you because I tried. I put in just random names. I was doing it. I was going for it. Anyway, Brittany's safe. And so it would have been between Alyssa and Paloma. And from what the assumption would be is that Daniel will be, well, I mean, Pooch, P- Pooch would have to – he would have to figure out which bowl he wanted to go to. Did he want to go to Alyssa? Did he want to run over to Paloma? He was going to choose. There, you know, the classic game where you stand in – the two families stand on the side. It's like, come here, puppy. That's what they would have done to Pooch. Mm-hmm. And Pooch would have chosen which one he was going to. with Paloma being eliminated from the equation, it would have had to have been Alyssa if things were going to go that way.
Yeah.
So Julie goes to the house guests and explains this to them, just like she explains it to us. And she lets them know that since there is no... I thought it was very clever to not tell them about the America vote and that Britney was going to be safe. That would put an instant target on Britney's back.
I wondered America if they were going to you know, say that part. I'm glad for Britney's sake they didn't.
Correct. So they didn't do that. And so immediately she says, so the backstage twist, canceled. Alyssa and Britney hug. They're very excited. And she says, as I explained, someone's going to be voted to be go against them. And with Paloma being gone and the backstage part being canceled, we're canceling the eviction. Taylor immediately breaks down crying. And I like felt for her immediately. She's like, new life in this game. Because she knew she was going.
Yeah.
At this point, she knew she was going. I hope everybody told her that they were going to vote for her, though. I hope they all told her, we were going to vote for you tonight. So that way, she's like, got you. Got nobody. I'm aware.
And that's the thing about, like we said, like the reset button was hit. Like, it's like a brand new game, but there's already dirt involved. But for someone like Taylor, there might be a bunch of people just being like, I'm so sorry. This is why this happened. And she might get a ton of information from this because people are going to – it's that moment where, like, you know, like in Survivor. Yeah, like in Survivor, like, we're going to definitely vote this person out unanimously. Oh, I have an idol. And then everyone comes to them afterwards. This is why I did it. I'm so sorry. Because they're still there. And they still have a say in what happened. So, you know, Taylor has a chance right now.
She has a chance. This is a real good opportunity for her and her game. And so – Julie lets them know that, you know, there's not going to be anyone else going home tonight. And we will be going to a live competition to lead to an HOH competition.
Okay. Got it.
My assumption. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to say it again. We're going to a live competition to lead to an HOH competition. Everyone goes to the backyard. There's this obstacle course set up. The game is called Bye Bye Backstage. So my assumption is that this is what the two backstage people would have had to compete in.
Yeah.
And as you see, Taylor does go head-to-head with Alyssa and smokes her. I think if she went against Paloma, it would have been the same result. Taylor would have still been in this house based on how she had
the drive behind her.
Yeah. So the comp was set up. It was like the floating disc, just
we've seen this before. We saw this in All Stars. This was the very first competition that Cody won the first HOH. And so, like, I was expecting some wobble here.
But none of these were wobbly. They were all solid. And that they lead to a platform where you then had to go across this
just like in the dogs competition. Pooch should have been good at this.
And then once you get on that, you have a spinning guitar that leads to a platform to another spinning guitar, and then essentially a rock wall that you had to go across to then hit a buzzer. So that's the competition. Julie has them go head to head, which is why I assume that this would have been the backstage
competition. And I'm so sorry if that was the competition to send someone home. I mean, I think that would have been extremely underwhelming. Like, one of those competitions that needs to be like, give it your all, like a puzzle or something where you feel like the person really deserves it. That would have been a competition where if like it was one round and it was just like, oh, I did this quick, boom, you're going home, I would have been like, oh, that's it.
Well,
like,
but that's just what Big Brother does to us.
Well, even on top of that, you got to remember that we got to get this competition done quick because someone's got to go, because we still got to get the HOH competition going in a little bit, preferably in the same hour. So we need to have something that is quick because we've already voted one person and these three girls are unsafe. So we need something that's going to be fast.
Yeah, true.
And that would have been quick to get it done which is why I think they thought it was clever to use that to lead into whatever their actual HOH competition was going to be, which we still don't know what it is. So the first up, we get we have Daniel drawing all the names. So Daniel draws the puppy dog Pooch versus Michael, and Michael smokes him.
Smoked him. Love it. Smoked. And then he does a high kick.
Yeah. Smoked him. And I think it's interesting because part of the reason Michael went up was because they didn't think Michael was going to be a physical threat.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, they misread Michael. They misread Michael. Michael's here to play.
I love it. And I love that he beat Pooch. Like, just love it.
Send him right to the doghouse. Next up, we had Taylor go against Alyssa. And just like we just talked about, smoked her too, right?
She was hanging on by just a little bit there.
Taylor, hovering over the ground, lifts herself up, makes it to the end. I thought that was fantastic. Next up, we had Joseph beat Indy. That was underwhelming. It was really fast. Indy fell once or twice, and then Joseph flew through it. Mm-hmm. So that was whatever. Amira versus Brittany was a bit of a battle, but Amira's pretty athletic. So Amira's moving on. And Jasmine beat Terrence, which was a very slow race, which I thought was pretty even. But Jasmine, when she was coming off the obstacle course, she fell and something happened to her ankle.
Look, me and my husband, we rewound it, we slow-mo'd it, and she legitimately completely turned her ankle sideways. Like, she better be glad that she fell on foam, because that may be her only saving grace. Because if it would have been on the ground, it's for sure broken. It may be broken anyways. She's not lying. Like, she's in some pain.
Yeah. Is this BB19? Is this season BB19?
This is BB19. Literally, just, you know, Daniel is Cody, and he has had to nominate his people. Somebody got to come off the block. Somebody self-evicted. Nobody that you've nominated is going home.
Other people were safe. Other people were safe that you couldn't vote.
You didn't have half the people to choose from. You've nominated three people. All three of those people are still in the house. Nobody's gone home. Now, old girl Jasmine breaks her ankle, possibly. Very possibly she has broken her ankle.
Like Christmas did.
She may have to leave the game. Who knows? Because it's a question mark as of right now.
Yeah. Yep.
So all I'm saying is, if Paul walks through that door, just a friendship bracelet.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Backstage bracelets, Kylie. Backstage.
Backstage passes. Backstage passes. There's gonna be Paul's here to hand out backstage friendship passes, and then
that's it. I'm done.
Well, with Jasmine being hurt, they have her laying over there with her leg up, but she did advance. My favorite was the commercial that they go to, because they had just come back from a commercial.
They're trying to roll her off the stage, basically.
Yeah, Julie's like, "All right, Jasmine, get on up." They're like, "You mind to go help?" Yeah, I'm out to go help. Anyway, we're going to have the next people. We're going to commercial. We're going to commercial. This is because this is much deeper than what I thought it was.
You know that these producers are smoking a joint right now, having a beer. Like, it has been a day.
Not yet, because they got to produce this HOH competition with these seven people. So once that's done, they're going to sit down. And they're going to be like, "All right, I need a beer. We need like a round of beers for everybody, because this has been a rough 2 days, a rough 24 hours.
It has been a day."
Next up, luckily for Julie, she comes back and she has two groups left. Kyle faces Turner, smokes him. Yeah. Kyle was so fast. He's so tall.
Yeah.
His length really, really, really helped him in this one. And then we have Monty beating Nicole, with both of them falling several times.
Monty was 100% trying to throw this. Yes.
I think so.
Because I'm pretty sure Monty could have jumped from platform to platform.
Well, that first one after the like little drums you're walking on, those first two big ones, you saw like
most of the players just going straight to the second one.
Yeah, no, not
Monty. Monty was just like, he just got out of the first one. He's like looking over at Nicole. Yeah, I thought, and I also felt terrible for Julie because, like, running out of time on the show.
Yes,
like,
you need very obviously running out of time.
And of course, the two last, but we had some of those, some of these competitions go maybe 10, maybe like 12 seconds. This one took very long because both fell multiple times, and you didn't see Julie, but you could imagine her just being like just someone win.
We're about to get fined
because we're on too long.
I was extremely impressed because you're right, Mike, that as soon as they finished, Julie says, "Have a good night, house guests." All right. Here's the quick run. The rundown was the fastest I've ever heard her go through.
Yeah. She nailed this. Lack of profession.
She got it done within 60 seconds. She said the rundown, told about a new twist that we have coming next week, talking about who's going to see who we're going to have to watch to see who wins Power on Sunday. Wednesday, there's going to be a POV competition. Then we're going to see a new twist that's going to completely change the game on Thursday. She still gets in there that we're coming to you from outside the BB house.
Love one
Julie Chin Moonves. And then she went to one of her locked and loaded sayings, "Love one another, peace," and gets it all done within 60
seconds. It sounded like one of those like medication commercials where they're like,
yes,
showing like the families like walking around and look what I can do now that I'm on this medication. And then at the end, it's like, if you have to, blah, 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 and it goes on for like 30 seconds, but the guy says like 1,000 words and you don't pick up one of them. That was Julie. She's like, "Thursday night, we're going to be doing this." And then like, risk of death. You take too much.
She was so fast, and she read all the side effects of being in the BB house. She was so fast with it. And I thought that was impressive. I thought it was a good episode. What do y'all think?
It was an episode. I don't know about good, but it was.
I thought it was good because they were able to put together on the fly, basically.
But they knew, how long has
It's been damn near 24 hours.
Yeah. So they could have rearranged all of this stuff. But I mean, I don't know. Like again, every single episode so far, I'm just hoping that, like, it gets really, really good because I think the cast, like I said yesterday, has the potential to be like really good, but then little hiccups like this can ruin some things. So I'm going to be optimistic. I wasn't, you know, I watched every second, but I wasn't glued to my TV screen. And with what happened tonight, obviously there was like tons of commercials and stuff, but all in all, they did what they could with what they had. Right. So
yeah,
I don't blame Big Brother, but it was just kind of it's a weird start to the season, just like BB19. They're doing what they can.
So we have playing in the HOH competition, we have Michael, Taylor, Amira, Jasmine, maybe, Kyle, and Monty. Out of those people, Mike, who do you want to be the new HOH?
Honestly, I kind of just want anyone who, like, maybe Michael or Taylor, just because I don't like the way that Daniel went about his HOH, and I think it should be, you know, he should feel the heat for what, you know, how, basically, if we're talking about just the game, just the way he played that round, I hope that he gets some repercussion for that, because he didn't play a great round, in my opinion. So if Michael wins and goes after Daniel, Taylor wins, I think everyone would have a parade, so that'd be great. And then, you know, Daniel's on the block, and we get some little squirming from Daniel. I think that'd be fun. So, one of those.
Kelly, who do you want to win the next HOH?
I mean, I want Taylor to win, obviously. Like
same. I'm with you. I like what Mike's saying. If Michael wins too, I think we're going to
get. Yeah, Michael is the good backup choice there. I mean, Michael would be a great choice.
I'm not mad about an Amira win either. I think Amira might make some moves.
Amira's in.
We might see some stuff happen, especially because with Paloma gone, there's a power vacuum that has been created. And I don't know, because Paloma created everything in the house.
Right.
She created all the alliances.
She created the girls. Like, you know, there's this big puzzle piece missing now. So it's kind of, it really is like a reset. Where is the house going to go without Paloma in it? So. Mm-hmm. Also, whoever grabs power, I mean, this is almost like a chance to, you know, like It's so similar to last season with Frenchie being the first HOH, except yes. that Frenchie then got evicted. But, you know, Paloma kind of ran.
Same thing happened, though. Same thing happened.
Paloma kind of ran the week like it was her HOH. And
then got evicted.
Now she's gone. So where's it going to go from here?
Who's in the list of people that isn't really in with anybody either? Terrence. Okay, yeah. So if someone...
Of the people that are available to win, it needs to be Michael or Taylor. That's the only way you're really going to see, like, okay, this could go in a
different direction. I think Amira, too. I think if an Amira win, we're going to see some stuff happen, too. If you see a Monty or a Kyle win, you're going to see status quo. Yeah. I don't even know if Jasmine's going to be able to compete.
Yeah, mm-hmm. no. Mm-mm.
Depending on what
I'm
it just is.
Saying, yeah, I'm almost rooting kind of for Amira because if Taylor or Michael win, it is probably going to be Daniel who's most likely the target. And in that case, that's not like that. That's going to be fun. But if Amira wins, we're questioning everything. What exactly is she?
Might be Brittany.
It might be
Brittany at that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, one thing I want to do on these Thursday nights is I want to ask you each on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the outgoing HOH? Kylie, we're going to start with you on a scale of 1 to 10. How was this week's HOH reign?
A 1. He did a terrible job.
1's pretty low. Okay. Mike?
I'm going to go with, I'm just thinking as if I'm in the house and I'm like how it sets me up next round. I'm going to go with a 3, but at least one of those points, maybe 1.5 of those points are literally just from the relationship he made with Nicole. Like Nicole basically gets those points. So
I'm going to split the difference and I would go with a 2 because none of his targets went home.
Right.
Right. He put 3 people up. None of them went home. He didn't create a structure for himself.
Correct.
All he did was beg for people to keep him safe, but he didn't create anything for him. His relationship with Nicole that he did make, he was pushing for this Taylor thing so hard. Taylor doesn't go home. So that is another red flag. Even though he created the thing with Nicole, Nicole's like, some of this stuff doesn't add up about what they were saying, but he was pushing for it so hard that it's not going to work. Another reason why it's so low for me for the 2 is that with him not creating a structure, as we just talked about, he tried to keep people safe that have no interest in keeping him safe in terms of like the guys, which is a complete misread of what's going on. So all those things said and told, it was one of the worst HOHs that he could have had. And the only person he was trying to keep the safest is the person that went home in Paloma.
Yeah, it's the same thing with like Monty.
It was really bad. It was a really bad week for him.
I feel like both Daniel and Monty chose Paloma, and in turn, they chose wrong. Correct. Because if they would have chose the other way, maybe the person who went home tonight would have gone home anyway. Like game-wise, if they would have pushed that on to Paloma. Like if Monty would have said, you know, I'm not really buying this fully. I might team up with Taylor here, and I'm freezing Paloma. Maybe everything changes, but I think they just chose wrong. I think they trusted Paloma too much and didn't get their way at all tonight. So,
also, if you're in the chat right now, tell us what you would rate this week's HOH, because I would like to know what you guys are thinking if you're watching live right now. So
as we're wrapping this up, let's look at this comment from Sheldon. Hot take, this is the last season of BBUSA.
Definitely not, because there was season 15. So after season 15, Big Brother will never, ever end because it makes money. It prints money. Yesterday, the ratings were down from the week before, and it still won the night. There's a reason Big Brother airs in the summer in America, and it's because there's nothing else on. And when there's nothing else on, it beats everything every week. One of my favorite things is that people on the street, just like Jeff, people on the street that I like know text me about Big Brother stuff. People I didn't even know they were watching Big Brother. Friends of mine for years and years ask me, what do I think about X person? And my response is, you watching Big Brother?
And your response is, there was nothing else on.
Yes, correct. My boy Donnie texted me and said, hey, Paloma's playing a great game. And I texted back, not a fan, but I didn't know you were.
Yeah. Like, that's funny. Yeah, no, literally the reason how I found Big – and this doesn't take away from Big Brother. Just because there's nothing else on doesn't mean that Big Brother isn't a great game
it's
and
bad.
A great
show. Yeah, doesn't mean it's bad.
But how I found Big Brother was – hockey wasn't on, football wasn't on, basketball wasn't on. So I could either watch the Phillies or, oh, wow, what is this? There's a lot of, like, colorful stuff going on. Oh, this is, like, a game? This is cool. I don't want to watch the Phillies. Baseball's kind of boring. Let's watch Big Brother. That's why they play it in the summer. All the sports are over. And, you know, even if you don't want to watch it, after you watch, like, the first episode, you want to know what happens next. Mm-hmm, you have mm-hmm. to.
And, like, before I started doing coverage, I used to only watch till the people that I liked were gone. And then I would literally be like, well, that was fun. We have about another month until the football starts. Mm-hmm. So I need to start looking at my fantasy football stuff. That was how it used to be.
Exactly.
Time to start getting for fantasy. That's how mm-hmm. it used to be for me. And so I'm with you, Mike. It was football's over, basketball's over, hockey, there's no hockey going on. Baseball's fun, but like it's long, so I can like check in. If I start watching this episode of Big Brother, I can check in and the game will probably still be going.
Yeah, you can still watch like the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th innings.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So Sheldon, I don't know if that's your hot take is gonna stand. Big Brother will continue on. After BB15, there's like it'll never end. Watching Aaron and Gina Marie, like this will never end. Ever.
Ever.
Great, I love it. Even when it's not good, I still love it. I can't help it. It's like a toxic relationship. You can't quite get out of it.
Yeah, like if the season's too perfect, it's almost not fun either, right? So it's like,
nah, man, BB23 was perfect and I loved it. It was my favorite season.
It wasn't ever. Perfect.
It was perfect.
It wasn't perfect.
Kylie, it was perfect.
It wasn't perfect. Did the best player win?
The best player never wins these games. You know what I'm saying? Best player never wins these games.
Doesn't usually win the games.
When's the last time the best player won Big Brother? Cody, I guess, is the best player that season.
Good play. 22. Cody won.
Jackson wasn't the best player his season.
Casey
probably Casey wasn't. Nah. Tyler played a better game that season. Josh definitely wasn't the best player his season.
Paul.
Josh was the best player? Get out of here, Kylie. Was Franzel the best player her season?
No.
No. 17.
Steve. No.
No, Vanessa was the best player that season. 16. Derek. Derek's the last time.
Derek and Cody both.
Well, Cody doesn't count because Cody set up everything before the game started. So that doesn't
matter. He still So 16 and 22, like every 6 years, we get the correct name.
So we've got 4 years left now. All right. See you guys.
Years on us. Kylie, you got anything you want to promote, you want to plug, you want to talk about for coming?
Once again, we are still doing our giveaway. Every week, we're getting a little bit closer to our goal. And so whenever we hit that 250, we will be giving away our autographed Power of Veto necklace.
Perfect.
Who autographed it, Kylie? Who autographed it?
Surprise.
We'll announce it at a later date.
And I'm subscribing.
When we get to 500, you will get a beautiful H-O-H robe autographed by a...
Nope. The robe's not autographed. You will also get an autograph.
Autographed by us. By us.
Like we're going to sign it. And then you will also get... another veto, which is going to be great. Mike, where can people find you, man?
Well, you can find me anywhere, but where can you find For the Fans Reality? If I was going to try to find them, I would at For the Fans Reality on any social platform, and you will find us there. TikTok, Twitter, there it is. Right, I mean, it's even right there. How can you not follow it? TikTok, Twitter, Facebook. I mean, whatever. If you make Instagram. Your own social media, Instagram, if you make your own social media platform, the first thing we're going to do is make an account there.
Yep.
So if you're not following, please follow. We're making content every day. And hope you enjoy.
Also, check us out in your podcatcher. You'll find the podcast form of this right here that we're chatting about right there for the fans. For the Fans Reality, you just look for it there. You can find it. there. Anything else, Kylie?
No.
All right.
We'll be back sometime this next week with our the Challenge USA coverage.
And you can check us out on Monday with me, CJ, and maybe Raven. Who knows? We'll be back on Monday covering what has happened with the Sunday episode and a little bit of spoilers on what's going to happen with the Power of Veto at that point. And then make sure you tune back in on Wednesday at 15 minutes after the episode to catch Kylie, Mike, and Sheldon going through the Veto episode. And then join us back here next week on Thursday to take you through the live, maybe eviction, of Big Brother. With all that, coming to you from outside the Big Brother house, it's Kevin, Kylie, and Mike. Adios.
Love one another.